Okay, we want to try Mitzvah Hashem to give now a very short, concise guide to the practical aspect of how to find the kosher esrog. We have to know that there are three criteria that we're going to be dealing with, as you see on the board here. Number one, there has to be an esrog. Number two is the issue of discoloration. And number three is the issue of chasar, which will translate as missing. Number one is the issue of esrog. An esrog, in order to be kosher, number one, cannot be murkav, cannot be grafted. Esrog trees are very weak trees, and under normal circumstances, a farmer would graft an esrog tree onto a lemon tree or a different type of tree in order to make it a sturdy, healthy tree. However, halachically, this is unacceptable. So we need to know that the esrog is not a murkav, it's not grafted. Number two, if the esrog is orla, from the first 3 years of the tree in Eretz Yisrael, or if it's tevel, which means the maaser was not taken off, then it is also possible to be used on sukkahs. Therefore, in order to know that the esrog is kosher, so we have to know it's not any of these three, it's not murkav, it's not erlan, it's not tevel, because maaser was taken off. Practically speaking, the way that you will ascertain this is because it has a hechsher, a certification of a kashrus supervision that tells you this is an esrog, which means it has fulfilled all the qualifications we've discussed to know it is minimally kosher to be an esrog. Care should be taken to realize there are two types of hechsherim, of kashrus certifications on the market. Some that just say this is an esrog, which is fulfilling the qualifications we've spoken about. Sometimes, though, you will have a hechsher which says this is a kosher esrog, which means this specific esrog was supervised, was checked by a rabbinical authority, and there are no problems, no halachic problems with this esrog. And therefore, this specific esrog can be used, you could say a bracha on it. Sometimes, you will have a kashrus that specifies is an esrog mehudar, or sometimes it's just a kosher esrog, which means it's not very mehudar, it's not extraordinarily beautiful, beautifying the mitzvah, but it is minimally kosher for the halachic necessities. I want to point out that esrogim sometimes have different shapes. The shape that's generally considered to be the nicest would be something like what I'm holding here. It has bumps, and it is kind of symmetrical in its growth, the way it tapers off towards the top. There are some esrogim such as this that have a like a belt in the middle, which is called the gartle, and some people like to use that. You have an esrog such as the one I'm holding here, which is not a nice giddle, it's called. It's not a nice growth, it's not a pretty shape. It is kosher, but nevertheless, if you're looking for a hidur to beautify the mitzvah, so then this shape is considered much preferable. Okay, we've discussed the minimal requirements of being an esrog. Now we'll go to number two, discoloration. In discoloration, we've mentioned chazazis and shinui mareh, which would be the halachic term. Nekudos dots would be the more practical term. The halacha of a chazazis means when there's a certain growth of spoilage on an esrog, so it disqualifies the esrog. We don't have these growths today. If we have them, it doesn't make it to the marketplace, so don't worry about a chazazis. But a shinui mareh, a discoloration, is a problem. The most common by far is a black dot. When you have a black dot, such as in this esrog, if it's hard for you to see this on the video, there will be pictures on the site available. There's a black dot here. This black dot, just one dot, is enough to disqualify the esrog. It's a shinui mareh, it's a chazazis. The only time a black dot will be a problem is in one of the following two scenarios. Either it's on the chotam. The chotam means the part of the esrog that starts to slope towards the top. So that chotam, since it is more easily seen and recognizable, therefore even one black dot is a problem. This black dot is clearly on the chotam, which probably would start around here. and therefore one black dot is enough to disqualify. However, if we're talking below the chotam, so then one black dot is not enough to disqualify, then you would need three dots or more, specifically if they are located in such a way that any direction from which you look at the esrog, you see them. So, the way to figure it out is, let's say, if I can put my fingers on either side of the esrog, and therefore I'm looking at half the esrog. If I can turn the esrog in any which way, so that I can look at half of the esrog, and there's no black dots, and all the black dots are on the other half, then it doesn't disqualify. But if it would be placed in such a way that in any direction I turn the esrog, I can see a black dot even under the chotem, then it is a problem. Black dot is a problem. A white dot is a problem, although far less common, but specifically if it's very white, such as that of a white shirt. However, you will have many times a color which is off-white, beige. These discolorations are called bletelach. The word bletelach means a leaf in Yiddish, and the bletelach are caused by the esrog being rubbed by a leaf or a thorn, and then when they heal, so the scab, the scar, is this off-white color. Take, for example, in this esrog, you can see here there are bletelach on the esrog, and here there's like a long bletelach. This is also considered a bletela. This bletela, here's just one more, which is very close to the pitam of the esrog, we'll talk about soon. These bletelach do not cause psul in an esrog. There are two reasons for this. One is because they are so common that they are considered a part of the esrog, and it's a natural color. A second reason is because they are not higher than the esrog. It's true that if you put your finger over them, you'll be able to feel them. That's because the texture is different than the skin of the esrog. But the bletelach that are commonly found in the marketplace are not higher than the esrog. For these two reasons, they do not make the esrog puzzle, although they do detract from hiddur. A third color which is important to mention is brown. When the esrog gets hit, or even punctured, and a little bit of the juice is secreted, the esrog juice is very acidic, and therefore the interaction with the peel causes a brown staining or a brown dot. If you look here, we have a black dot on this esrog, which makes it pusul because it's above the chotem. Under it there's a big brown stain. This was caused by the esrog juice, and it doesn't make the esrog puzzle, although obviously it does detract from the hiddur. I must mention that if the brown stain comes not just because the esrog got hit, but because it got peeled a little bit, if a little bit of the peel was taken off and the esrog juice came out and caused the brown discoloration, so this is potentially a problem. The Mishnah Berurah says that you could be mekel b'shas adchak. In case of necessity, you're able to be mekel on this, but if it's not a case of necessity, then that should be treated the same as a black dot, which means on the top of the chotem, even one is a problem, and on the bottom, if it's three dots strategically placed in such a way that you can't see the esrog without it, it is a problem. So we've discussed the discoloration, the black dots which are a problem, brown dots that come because of peeling should be considered a problem, although you could be making b'shas adchak. Brown dots in and of themselves are not a problem, and the beige, off-white, bletelach, which are not a problem, although these last two they detract from hiddur. The next thing that I think is appropriate to discuss is if an esrog is missing, which means it is chaser. First thing to point out is that chaser is only a problem during Yom Tov. On Chol HaMoed, it is not a problem. The Gemara tells us about Rabbi Chanina that would eat a part of his esrog and use the rest for the mitzvah. So, even if it's missing a major piece, it is not a problem, it's not a psul. Such as the esrog, which I have here, I sliced off a piece, and, as you can see, a major part is missing, but nonetheless, missing is not a problem at all on Chol HaMoed. What about during Yom Tov? So during Yom Tov it goes like this. There are three peels on three parts to the esrog. The top part, the outermost peel, is really not even a peel. It's very, very thin. It's just the glass that kind of shines from the esrog. And if that's missing, that's not called the esrog is chaser, that's kosher. However, you need a real expert to be able to determine that that's the only part that's missing. Anything deeper than that will be missing from the peel, which is green or yellow. And once a part of that peel is missing, so then it is a machlokas, but the Mishnah Berurah says to be machmer and to consider it chasar and therefore disqualified for use on Yom Tov if even a little part of the blue or of the green or yellow peel is missing. If you can look here, you can see like if you slice an esrog, you see there's a little part, it's not very thick, but that yellow part, yellow or green part that has the green pigment, and under it has little circles, kind of like eyes, and that is the peel that we're discussing. If the part that's missing goes all the way down to the third peel, which is the white, the flesh of the esrog, then according to all opinions it is chaser and therefore can't be used during the Yom Tov, but can be used during Chol HaMoed. And we quoted the Gemara regarding Rabbi Chanina. This year, Tavshin Samach Zayin, the first day of Sukkot is on Shabbos, and therefore the Esrogim in Eretz Yisrael will be used only on Chol HaMoed, and therefore technically I could take an Esrog like this and it's kosher and it's not a problem at all this year. Of course, on years when the first day is not Shabbos, the first day, which is a weekday, and it's Yom Tov, so then this will be kosher because it is chaser. A few words about the other parts of the esrog. The top of the esrog is called a pitam, and if the pitam is broken off, this will disqualify the esrog, and depending on how much of it is broken off, it can even disqualify it for all 7 days. However, very commonly, the pitam, being a weak part of the esrog, falls off while it is still on the tree. In such a case, it is considered that the esrog came to us without a pitam, and then it is kosher, and it's mahudr, and it's not a problem at all. The bottom of the esrog is called the uketz. The uketz is where it was connected to the tree, and it's not essentially a part of the esrog at all. However, if the whole uketz is missing, then we have our doubts, our hesitations, possibly some of the esrog was missing with that also, and therefore it would be chaser and would be a problem on Yom Tov and not on Chol HaMoed. Other than that, uketz is not a problem, and as long as part of the uketz is there, that's sufficient to be kosher. An important point that I want to mention regarding black dots is regarding their size. The problem with black dots is that they're not called hadar. We need a pre-8 hadar. Hadar means it should be beautiful. Beautiful in the definition that Chazal gave, but it definitely indicates the way that a person sees it. Therefore, a black dot has to be one that that the eye can readily see at holding it from a normal distance. But if you need to search for the black dot and you can't really see it when holding it at a normal distance, so then it's not called a black dot at all and it doesn't cause any psul. Kal vachomer that if you need to take a magnifying glass in order to see the black dot, that it's not a problem at all. The reason people use magnifying glasses is when there are certain points that they want to check out very carefully, so then magnifying glass helps you to figure out what it is that you're seeing. But bottom line, if you can't see the black dot when holding it at a decent distance, and you can't readily see it, then it's not called a psul, it doesn't disqualify, and it's not a problem. Size of the esrog. The size of the esrog needs to be the size of an egg. Me'ikra din, the halacha is the size of today's eggs. In which case, we'd be talking about an exceedingly small esrog. According to some opinions, the egg of Chazal was bigger than today's eggs. And according to those opinions, you would need an esrog that is bigger than the egg in Chazal's times, which would be twice the size of today's eggs, which would mean we're talking about 100 grams or slightly under 3.5 ounces. Most esrogim are considerably bigger. So therefore, this would be maybe a normal size esrog. This esrog, while not pretty, I'm just showing the size, is a small esrog. This small esrog is 140 grams, which is approximately 5 ounces, right? So, as far as size, this esrog is far beyond what you need. So unless you see an esrog that's ridiculously small, in which case you would need to check with the Rav, the size should be not an issue, and as long as it's a decent size, like this is for sure good, then size is not a problem at all.